Welcome to the Microsoft IT Pro Podcast, a show about Office 365, Azure, and the IT Pro and end user side of life. Each week, we'll discuss a different topic or recent news related to Office 365 and Azure and how it relates to you as an IT Pro. The Microsoft IT Pro Podcast is never longer than 30 minutes, so let's get started. Oh, Scott, how are you doing?
I'm doing well. I'm looking at this webinar registration page. I'm wondering if I should register or not.
You absolutely should register, but not yet. Well, you can so if you register when we're recording this, it's not quite going to work because I still have some plumbing to fill out in the background before the episode actually goes live. The advantage of recording before you release.
Well, what is this webinar that the plumbing needs to go in place for?
So I decided, we've talked about the membership site I'm trying to get going. I've done an email course and I was like, you know what? I have software. I have presentations I've done before. I should start just doing some self-hosted webinars and see what kind of traction I can get, see what people are interested in, start turning it into videos. So I actually did a presentation last week and getting started with scripting for Office 365. And I was like, hey, let's turn that into a webinar. So August 16, so like 3 weeks from today, at 11 a.m. Eastern time, I am going to do a webinar on getting started with scripting for Office 365. So I'll talk about PowerShell, getting started with all the modules. There's like 12, maybe not quite 12, I can't remember, eight or 10 different modules, remote PowerShell sessions. Talk about those. We'll talk about the Office 365 CLI some. So yeah, just an hour-long webinar to get you started with scripting. And I'm going to have more coming down the pipes too. I'm thinking of maybe trying to do this once a month. That might be overly ambitious, but we'll see. So the URL, if you are listening to this, is HTTPS, and it is intg.ink. So my company is IntelliJink. I tried to come up with a short URL. So yeah, intg.ink/Office365webinar. And you'll be able to sign up. You'll get emails with links and all of that. So we'll see how it goes. See if you guys are interested in this, or if there's other webinars you would like me to do in the future. Feel free to reach out. Maybe I'll even try to get Scott to do one with me.
Well, very cool. You should definitely put the rest of the plumbing in place, though.
Yes, I absolutely need to get that done. And I have to get it done soon because we are recording this on Wednesday because a week from today, I will be in the hospital with my wife having another child. So we're trying to get some recording done ahead of time, which means I also have to get a bunch of work done ahead of time in addition to that, so that we can keep delivering you these wonderful podcasts while I am trying to survive our fourth baby.
Well, congratulations and best of luck to you.
Thanks. I'll send you pictures and I'll call you every time the baby wakes up in the middle of the night.
I cannot wait, and thank goodness Do Not Disturb is a thing.
Yeah, so that's kind of what's going on with me. It'll be interesting. Don't worry. We'll keep coming out with podcast episodes. You just may hear more babies in the background for a few months.
Well, you know, maybe it'll make these things better. Very cool. Why don't we talk about all of the previews that dropped yesterday?
Yes, and there were several of them. None of them cloud-related. Well, so I guess you could argue they're sort of cloud-related, but there were three rather big ones that were all announced yesterday.
We could say they are cloud-driven or cloud-inspired.
We could, because as we found out with Bill, the cloud versions get ported back into the on-prem versions now, so it's develop in the cloud and then bring back on-prem what you want to. So without further ado, no more suspense, although I'm sure people have guessed already, the SharePoint 2019 preview, the Skype for Business 2019 preview, and the Exchange 2019 preview all dropped at various times throughout the day yesterday.
Yes, they did. Well, various times being a relative thing. I always like how coordination of that stuff can be a little bit hard. So I follow the RSS feed for the Microsoft Download Center, just because sometimes you see some really weird things pop in there that don't have public URLs, but they make it into the RSS feed. And, you know, just kind of browsing through, and it's like, oh, there's the language pack for SharePoint Server 2019. And you click it, and of course it goes to a 404 because somebody published it prematurely and then they pulled it back. But, well, 2019 bits are going to drop today for something. And then about 30 seconds later, Exchange 2019. Oh, that's cool. Click the link, 404. Huh. Well, let's wait a couple more minutes and see what happens. And sure enough, all the various blog posts come out. And then all of a sudden, links are live and things are good and people can go and get at whatever they need to get to. So if SharePoint 2019 public preview is your thing, Skype for Business, you know, you're looking to do that like cloud voicemail, not cloud voicemail thing, totally doable. Or Exchange 2019, which is out and about as well.
Yeah. And I, to be honest, have not installed any of these previews yet, although granted they were only yesterday, but there's a lot more hybrid stuff in there. So like you said, it looked like Skype for Business had stuff that enabled you to leverage some of the cloud calling, cloud voicemail, all of that. We know SharePoint 2019 is going to have a bunch of hybrid stuff in there as well around search and taxonomy. What other preview stuff do they have in there? The unified audit log, all of that stuff, and then bringing back some of those features that we have online today, some of the modern UI. I believe SharePoint 2019, there's some updates too around OneDrive for Business and the clients for the OneDrive for Business sync. So a bunch of updates that we've had for a while in the cloud, you now get access to on-prem.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting. So, and we can kind of run through each one here. So you want to start with SharePoint?
Sure. Let's kick that one off. I noticed there's a link to your blog in this one.
Easy enough.
Look at you, all fancy.
Yeah, you know, try and capture things for the people. But SharePoint 2019, so beyond the hybrid stuff, which is going to be out there, probably one of the biggest things is the modern UI or modern user experiences making it back to on-premises. So if you are in a hybrid configuration, you're doing things like hybrid sites, going back and forth, it can be a little disjointed to have the UI that's there today and different app launchers and all that good kind of stuff. So team sites are coming back. That includes modern pages. So the new canvas with modern web parts, client side, all that good kind of stuff. And lists as well, including things like column formatters. So they spent a bunch of time at SharePoint conference talking about features and functionality that could drive back into better visualizations and better interactions for end users. And all of that stuff is there and ready to go. So pretty much every kind of view for a list or library is going to be in place, along with that fully modern responsive UI, which is all good and all awesome. And perhaps even more interesting is this brings back SPFX properly. So as you're starting to do SharePoint framework customizations, you're going to have a little bit more leeway in what you can get away with. There's not going to be, hopefully, so much of that back and forth between differences and inversions and things like that. You're still going to have a lot of that because, hey, cloud moves at the speed of the cloud and on-prem is going to do what on-prem is going to do. But you should have some more options when it comes to doing customizations now, and maybe even customizations outside of things like having to be programmatically going at something and developing like a client-side web part. You know, if I could just get by with a maybe like a column formatter or something like that, life could be a little bit better.
Yeah, absolutely. This will definitely be a welcome relief to some of those people that are on-prem that have been seeing some of these new features and even some more of the practical ones. Like we said, the OneDrive Sync client, it'll support the new OneDrive Sync client now, which you still hear mixed opinions on it. I think it still works significantly better than the old one did. I have not had any issues with it on the Mac. Ironically, it seems to have more issues with Windows 10 than it does with the Mac, but that's another podcast. And then things like large file support. So it'll actually support uploading files now up to 15 gigs, which is interesting. I would love to see what they're doing in the background because I thought the large file upload limit was always tied to SQL Server and how it was stored in blobs.
It's a combination of things. Think more like IIS. So IIS has some limitations on kind of file handlers and things like that and what you can actually push through the pipeline. So yeah, SQL plus IIS. But SharePoint 2019, from a requirements side of things, it's going to require Windows Server 2016 or higher, which is going to be good, right? So we're finally out of those kind of 2012 and 2012 R2 days. So that's all well and good. We're driven out on that side. Modern IIS, modern pipeline, all that good kind of stuff. Interestingly, SharePoint will not be available on Server Core still, which is a little kind of disappointing, because they might have had some other options or some things they could do there to help sell the security and compliance story. But who knows? Maybe we'll see that at a later time. SharePoint 2022, anybody?
Yeah. Wow. Do you realize in 2022, I'm going to be over 40?
You just have some really depressing thoughts sometimes.
That was a really depressing thought. And a happier thoughts.
Well, yeah, I think if anybody's interested in this, there's a couple things that happen. So definitely go out and grab the bits for it. There is some guidance on the download page. So definitely go ahead and expand the different sections that are on there for like installation instructions, which is going to include your installation keys for SharePoint 2019 public preview. And that's going to be important because you're going to have a choice to make over whether you want to apply the SharePoint Enterprise key and kind of run in trial mode, that'll give you 180 days, or whether you want to do the Project Server 2019 key and let it go ahead and do its thing. Microsoft also did put together, again, quick start guides and reviewer guides. So quick start guide is just for single server farms. They do have some light guidance out there. Let me see if that page went live. It wasn't live as of yesterday. They had the stubs in place for docs.com for the installation. Will be found here. I know this is always compelling stuff when you listen to people. Click links. Let's see. No, that still gives a 404. So at some point, the installation documentation will hopefully go live and get all up on docs.com and be updated and maintained and all that good kind of stuff.
All right. We got to get someone to go do that commit.
You can probably find it out.
It's
in a private GitHub repo someplace, and then it needs to come into the public one and move over. But yeah, people should definitely check out all of those things. So while the bits are downloading, because you know it's a sizable enough download, you'll have time to read through the reviewer guide, take a look at features and functionality, like, hey, search is really my thing. So let's think about the ways we're maybe going to do deployments and how that's going to tie together. Are we going to think about, you know, tie-ins with Flow and Power Apps, and you know, does it make sense to onboard over here? And what do we want to install it on too? Would be a really good one. So if you're going to run through preview bits, maybe you want to run through preview bits for some other things like Server 2019 or SQL Server 2017, which are all kind of out and about as well. And you know, you'll be all good and ready to go.
Yeah, sounds good. So I'm sure we'll talk more about this as it keeps coming out, as one of us gets the chance to install it and start playing with it a little more.
It's going to be you.
We're going to go with that. Yeah, I don't know when it'll be me, but I'll get to it eventually. So another one, we talked about Skype for Business 2019 preview. This one is interesting, especially the announcements around it, because frankly, they don't give a lot in the announcements in terms of any real features. So they say the preview here, and they talk about four main features: Cloud Voicemail, Cloud Auto Attendant, Cloud Call Data Connector, and the Streamlined Team Migration. You can kind of read between the lines there what this update was all about. Cloud and hybrid.
Well, you can really read between the lines if you go back and start with Exchange real quick. So one of the things that was announced as part of the Exchange 2019 preview is that Exchange 2019 no longer includes the unified messaging roles. So if you were doing any type of UM in Exchange up to 2016, now you've got to transition over to cloud voicemail or cloud voicemail for Office 365.
Yeah.
Which is why this one was important. If you want to try out an exchange, well, and you're using this thing, we kind of got to have the other one sitting out there on the side ready to go.
Yeah. It sounds like a lot of these too, you're not going to want to do just, when you're talking about Skype for Business and Exchange, you're not really going to want to do just one. Like you said, with the voicemail and all of that, you kind of want to do both of them, and then you're going to have to get Office 365 if you want to do the unified messaging. It's interesting. Some interesting upgrades, updates with these.
And that's that.
Yeah, I don't have a whole lot. Like we said, we're SharePoint guys. I haven't looked a lot at the Exchange ones, Skype for Business. I've installed them once or twice, but I don't have a lot of on-prem experience with either of those server products.
Yeah, I think it's really, if you're going to take a look at Skype 2019 preview, like you said, definitely take a look at Exchange as well. The release that's out today is primarily meant to fill the gap for all of the PBX or kind of unified messaging functionality that's disappearing from Exchange. So if you're not using those things or that feature and functionality Exchange, Skype might not need to be something you do right now. Just to figure that out, especially if you're not thinking about things like streamlined Teams migration and what needs to happen there.
Yeah, and again, one thing that's not mentioned here that is kind of interesting is at Ignite, they talked about them going away from the Skype for Business client to the Teams client, that eventually that Skype for Business client's going to go away, which I would think would imply that you'd at some point in time be able to connect to Skype for Business server on-prem with the Teams client. Nothing about that is mentioned in here. So does this mean we're going to have that Skype for Business?
Yeah, you can continue to sound surprised.
I didn't say I was surprised. I just found it interesting. Intriguing. We can start conspiracies.
There we go. That'll make you friends.
Yeah. But yeah, that whole process, because this talks about migrating to Teams, but nothing about support for the Teams client or how all that's going to work as they try to move away from the Skype for Business client.
I don't think that's more to come. Fully baked yet. Yeah, and I mean, realistically, that stuff's still baking on the cloud side too. So, you know, we're starting to see those options like force users into the Teams client, and you know, they load up Skype for Business and it says, no, really don't use this except for the things that you do need to use it for. Because there's going to be, you know, one or two of those things. Well, maybe more than one or two.
And sometimes stuff takes longer than I think Microsoft realizes, like renaming the content adoption pack for Power BI to the usage analytics service that took a year to do a rename.
They didn't just rename it, they added Teams.
And with that, let's take a quick break to hear a word from our newest sponsor, Mover. Mover is a cloud migration company that specializes in moving your company's files from file servers or cloud storage like Box, Dropbox, and Google into Office 365. Their patented technology makes Mover the fastest OneDrive file migrator in the world. Moving dozens of terabytes of data a day is a breeze. Use Mover's free, industry-leading migration guides or ask for a managed migration and they'll take the lead. With Mover, all your data is secure and intact. Running completely behind the scenes, you don't lose time, money, or hair while you transfer. Scan, plan, migrate, report. Migrations that don't suck with Mover. Visit mover.io for more info. Do you want to move on to some other announcements?
Yeah.
We've beat the 2019 preview announcements to death, I think.
No, we haven't. Not yet. Let's talk Exchange real quick.
Oh, okay. You want to talk more? Okay. Well, we can move more into Exchange.
Yeah, we didn't really get into that one. So one of the exciting things about Exchange that's out there that actually is a really great thing is Exchange 2019 is going to support Windows Server Core. So if you think about kind of your edge deployments and having email infrastructure that sits someplace in a DMZ, this is an awesome thing. So you can lock these things down further. You can certainly kind of lower the surface area for what's available to attack on these things and get them up and running. And interestingly enough, Exchange on Server Core is kind of it looks like they're going to drive that towards being your best choice for deployment. And then they had some other awesome performance things in there as well. So the larger core and memory pack or memory deployments to let you get out there. So you can go up to 48 cores and 256 gigs of RAM across your deployments now, which is going to be super, super duper great. And then the core improvement outside of all the other stuff, or one of the biggest focus areas, was, again, end user experience. And you're going to see some pretty big improvements to calendaring. So things like do not forward, simplified calendar sharing like we have in Office 365, that's all going to come back to you on-prem Exchange as well.
All right. It sounds like they did some other performance improvements too, looking through here around what disks you should use, SSDs versus cheap storage. They're saying, hey, start using SSDs. Before it was just leverage cheap storage. There's an article out here that kind of highlights these. We'll link to that in the show notes, along with the Exchange or the Scape for Business and the SharePoint one.
Yeah. Usual guidance applies, right? Like you've got to take a look at your workloads and understand what they are and your performance characteristics and all that other good kind of stuff. Like an IOP is still a thing. You know, you might be able to get by without SSDs in some cases, but not in all cases. So take a look.
Yeah. And if you do, well, by the time we download this or release this, they should have it fixed. Currently, as of the recording date, they were still having some issues with some of the downloads resulting in corrupted files that can be opened, all of that. That should all be ironed out by the time you guys hear this. So go download it and have a run at it. Let us know what you think.
Yeah. You come back and you tell us.
Yeah, because why would we want to do the work of installing it? We got enough other stuff to do. We got to keep up on the news for everybody.
All right. What else you got out there? Now I'll let you move beyond 2019 stuff.
Now I can move beyond. See, I don't like coming back to Teams, but that's where there's a whole bunch of announcements lately. And this was kind of a big one. So we're going to jump back into it. That there is now a free version of Microsoft Teams. So Microsoft has been saying, and other people for a while, that Teams is kind of their answer to enterprise Slack to try to come up with their own Slack competitor. Going into the details of if they have succeeded or not can be a whole other podcast. But for now, to try to compete with free Slack, there is now a free version of Teams. It obviously has some limits. They had to put some limits on it, but they definitely they went after Slack with the limits they put on. For instance, Slack, you can have only so many messages in your history before you have to start paying for it. There's Teams, on the other hand, you can have unlimited messages, unlimited search. You're not going to be capped by that message history limit. But they will cap you.
Yeah, they say unlimited, but I think you're going to be at some point because your storage is limited.
Right. Where's your storage? It's not listed in this list.
You do have storage caps, and all that stuff has to sit in storage, so...
Yeah, or is that storage cap? So they have the file storage cap, but does that actually apply to messages? Because let's face it, text messages are tiny. More or less.
Yeah, but some of the things people do with Slack, there's a reason they have that message limit. Because your messages aren't just your messages. You're putting animated GIFs and attachments, and you've got all the metadata, and they've got to handle all the database storage. It's not just the text file, right? It's an actual like database sitting on the back end and driving everything. And because your chats are stored in Exchange mailboxes, and Exchange mailboxes have size limits, and you'd be hard pressed to hit those limits anyway with some of the limitations that they put in place, particularly the limit on the number of members that can be in a team and kind of come into that free Teams version.
Yep. So, and that's limited at 300 users. So 300 users in a Teams, you can have guest access.
But your guests count against the 300.
Yes. Yeah. That's kind of a goofy, yeah, we'll just leave it at that for now. You do get Word, Excel, PowerPoint, and OneNote apps in Teams. So not the desktop apps, but that ability to use Word, Excel, PowerPoint, OneNote in the browser within your team. You're not going to get that integration with OneDrive, SharePoint, all those other Office 365 services. So this really will just kind of be that chat type interface. You do get storage though. So file storage, you get 2 gigs a user and then 10 gigs of shared storage. I don't know. I haven't read enough about it to see where that's actually sitting. If you do if it's stored in some SharePoint site, Azure storage, whatever. But wherever that storage, you're not going to get that full SharePoint experience. It'll just be some file storage sitting out there. You will be able to do one-to-one group online calling. You'll have channels. You'll have screen sharing. You won't be able to schedule meetings or record your meetings, partly due to some of the other Office 365 services, primarily Microsoft Stream, that is leveraged for meeting recording. No phone calls or audio conferencing. Again, even with Office 365, those are other telephony plans, phone plans, all of those. So if you want to get started with Teams, if you want to play with it, if you have a small team that you just want to have a chat with, definitely worth checking out that free version of Teams.
Yeah. So a couple of things there. It's still just Teams. There's no differences in the back end. And there's been a couple of good blog posts on the tech community and some other places. So I'll make sure we put a link to one that Tony Redmond did on Petrie for inside Microsoft Teams or inside the free version of Teams. So it talks about things like how SharePoint is still your storage plane for files. You just don't have access to it. You're locked into that Teams UI. Because this is still Office 365, there's some other things going on in the background as well. So it's not just that it's SharePoint, but you can't see SharePoint. It's also stuff like Azure Active Directory, because that's your identity plane. And that's not going to change, but it's going to be there, but it's just going to be all abstracted away and you can't get to it or do anything with it. So it's a little strange there. And it sounds like, and I'm a little scared to try this even with like just one of my MSA accounts, because who knows what it's going to screw up or do to anything along the way. But you know, that path from going from something like a free team over to a paid team, because there's a bunch of stuff that normally you would set up along the way with Office 365, even when you're provisioning your trial tenant or however you want to do it the first time. Things like setting, you know, your domain name for users and all that good kind of stuff, so you're on Microsoft.com namespace. There's really no option to do that when you sign up for free teams. So you're ending up with some really random information in there. So if you do choose to upgrade into like Office 365 later, you're going to have some really weird SharePoint tenant names and other stuff going on, because we still can't change that URL.
Right. That was, and I need to go sign up for a team and see what this happens, but I'm the same boat as you. I have my org accounts, I have my MSA accounts, and I'm like, if they're kind of just provisioning all the Azure AD stuff and the SharePoint instance and all of that kind of quietly in the background without giving me a lot of options, because it's that free version, how does all that work when I try to roll it over to a business plan or to one of the e-plans in terms of essentially expanding out that tenant then to include all the other Office 365 features?
Yeah, it's all there. The Azure AD one is probably like the kind of most disconcerting one, because it's you just end up with that random on Microsoft.com namespace. So it's going to be based on something that you chose in like your MSA or your name or your team name when you signed up, but it's effectively like a phantom domain that sits out there because you can't do anything with it. Like you could go to like the AD portal if you knew the GUID for the tenancy in Azure AD, which you can figure out, and it's not that hard to do. So it is sitting out there, but it's just a little strange. So you know, you're going to have like your admin account, it's going to be admin app, you know, blah 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 dot on microsoft.com random thing, and then you're pretty much just going to start inviting guests in, and after that it's all just B2B sharing within Azure AD and following that same kind of thing. Interesting also with Teams is the management plane's a little bit different. So normally you would have, you know, the Teams and Skype for Business Online Admin Center. You might use things like PowerShell. None of that's available to you when you're in the free tenancies. You do have to upgrade over to enterprise versions to get all that happening.
Got it. Which it kind of makes sense because of all the stuff that's in that admin center. Yeah. I've got nothing else. I'm out of stuff to talk about for Microsoft Teams. It's free.
It's free. It's out there. Yay.
Yeah. All right. Do you want to try to get one more announcement here around Teams? Well, this was a doozy of an announcement around Teams, but it was the July roundup. So we'll briefly talk about it. Again, some of these we might dive into more details on later, but there were a bunch of improvements to Teams in July. And there's a blog post out here that highlights a lot of these, gives you additional links to get to all these different announcements, but I will run through them really quick. So first was direct routing. Think of wanting to bring your PSTN, your phone numbers, all of that right into Microsoft Teams without doing a hybrid Skype for Business deployment. This is Microsoft's answer to that. So just take your phone lines right into the data center, do direct routing right into Teams for calling. Again, a whole bunch of technical details, requirements around that, but that is now a thing with Microsoft Teams.
Which is good, because now so effectively at this point, what we're saying is, or what Microsoft is saying, is there's feature parity between Skype and Teams.
Yes.
Effectively.
Effectively.
Whether that's, your mileage may vary with whether that's actually true for you or not, but Microsoft is really beating that in. It's going to be a thing.
Yep, definitely. And this is now rolling out. So Teams is now also rolling out to government cloud, to GCC. We've talked about GCC in the past. They, as of July 17, it started rolling out to GCC. I don't know if it's complete yet or not, but if you're in GCC, you should have it. If you don't have it, you're getting it really soon.
Yep. Welcome to the government.
A lot of people I know are excited about that. Yeah. They added Visio. So we've also had Visio in the browser now for a while. You can now view and edit Visio files right in Teams. So if you're using Visio as part of Office 365, you have that Visio online license. Now you can work with your Visio files in Teams. There was an app, so they added the app launcher. This, I'm not going to go into details, but the app launcher has not been there in the web client in Teams. It's finally there. I don't know why it took so long to get the app launcher in there, but it's the waffle is now there. You can now go back to your other Office 365 apps from within Teams without going and manually typing in a URL or going to a bookmark or something like that.
Yeah, it's one of those Teams is going to do what Teams is going to do. Did you notice they even use like different icons? So it's not like the squares, it's little circles. And
I did not notice that. I'm going to have to go look at that.
They just could not bring themselves to be like a proper part of Office 365. Just a little bit different.
Yeah. And then these last two, these could probably be a whole separate podcast too. We should go into some of these topics a little bit more just around Office 365 in general, but you can now archive Teams. So if you're done with a team, you want to make it read-only, save it off as an archived version of that team for audit, retention purposes, but don't want any more updates to be made to it, you now have that ability to archive Teams. I know there's some goofy things around it, some functionality they're still working on, but it'll make like your SharePoint site read-only, chats, archive it off, save it around. And then you also now have e-discovery for calling and meetings. So as, again, getting off of Skype, getting into Teams, a lot of companies need that ability to do e-discovery for the chats, for calls, for what goes on in those meetings within Teams. So e-discovery for that functionality in Teams has now launched as well. So that was all in the month of July.
Fun, fun stuff.
Keeps us busy.
Yeah.
Yeah. And again, we haven't done an episode yet around much of the e-discovery, the archiving. I know there were some other improvements even around labeling in Office 365. We should do an episode on that coming up.
Yeah. So just a quick note on that one. So if you are interested in e-discovery and you're using Hybrid Exchange, which is probably, I would say, pretty likely, because if you're using eDiscovery, you're probably a little bit more mature and you're probably going to be hybrid, or at least most of the ones I've seen are that way. So there is support there for hybrid environments as well. You do have to contact Microsoft support to get it all turned on, though, because it is not publicly available, but it is available on customer request.
All right. Good to know. Well, I think that about does it, Scott. Another episode. So a couple more coming up and then a baby.
Excellent. Can't wait, man.
All right. Yes. And again, if you guys want show notes, want links, mscloud itpropodcast.com/episode76. If you don't want to go to the website every time, there's also links there to sign up for the mailing list, which then you just get all the show notes and all that information delivered to your inbox every morning when we, or every Thursday when we release our episode. So go, feel free to get all of those, get that information, and we will talk to you later.
Awesome. Thanks, Ben.
All right. Yep. Thanks, Scott. If you enjoyed the podcast, go leave us a 5-star rating in iTunes. It helps to get the word out so more IT pros can learn about Office 365 and Azure. If you have any questions you want us to address on the show or feedback about the show, feel free to reach out via our website, Twitter, or Facebook. Thanks again for listening and have a great day.